Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of His Word. Come sit with us.
We have come to the end of our time in the Epistle of Jude. And it has been clear to us that the words that the Lord has given to Jude not only could have been written to the church today, in fact, they are written to the church today. They are written to us. And that is amazing. Maybe a little frightening to some of us. Because we are seeing those words being fulfilled right before our eyes. What a privilege we have been given to have the mind of Christ, so that through His Spirit who lives within us, we have eyes to see, we have ears to hear the voice of God Almighty as He speaks to us through His Word. As the Spirit enlightens us and gives us understanding of the truth. Yet how many of God's people over the 2,000 years since this book was written, how many of them have read these words and then have closed the book and continue to live as if they had never read these words? How many do that today? What about us? If what we have heard has not affected us, it hasn't caused our hearts to be stirred, if it hasn't caused us to rethink, to realign, to reevaluate our lives, the priorities in our lives, to reevaluate them in the light of the imminent return of Christ, well, perhaps we're fooling ourselves. Maybe we're like those people we find in James who said are hearers of the word rather than doers of the word. Forgetting who we are to be in Christ. You know, according to the Bible, that is exactly what will happen as the time of His return approaches. Many will fall away from the faith. The love of many, the love for Christ, will grow cold. Many people will become so preoccupied with themselves and with the things around them that they will not see as that day approaches. In fact, Jude tells us that many teachers and preachers and pastors who claim to speak for Christ will ridicule those who speak of His return. Why? Jude says, why? That's because they don't know Christ. And so, since they don't know Christ, they don't have His Spirit living within them, and so they have no spiritual discernment to understand these things. And these men, Jude tells us, are the very leaders who are leading God's people today. According to Jude, we are living in a time of great peril. The enemy continues to deceive many of God's people through those in the church who claim to know, to speak the truth of the Word of God. And tragically, many in the church don't see what's happening. We just don't see it. There's a crisis among us, but we don't seem to understand that it is a crisis. Even after we have been warned. But that's not so unusual, is it? How many people have been warned about hurricanes and storms? Well in advance, they've been advised what to do, how to survive that emergency situation. They've been even given a checklist. A list of essential things that they need to do in order to be properly prepared so that they could survive. Yet they have ignored those warnings. And they perished. So as Jude closes his letter to us, He gives us a checklist. He gives us a list of essentials. Things we need to do in order to weather the storm in the church. Storm that is already raging all around us. As we see many fall away from the faith. But you, beloved, Jude says in verse 20, you, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you must take action. This is not an option for you, and this is not a suggestion. This is a command. This is a command that has been given to you by the Lord. You are to keep building yourselves up. Ep oikodomeo in Greek. Your life. Your life is like a building that is under construction. And as you grow in your relationship with Christ, as you mature in that relationship, you will become more solid. You will become immovable, like a building made of stone. But this will only happen in your life, Jude says, if you build your life on your most holy faith, on your hagiotate humon Christe in Greek. Rest on your belief in Christ as the foundation of your life. Build your life. Build your life on Him. Put your confidence and trust in Him, in His Word. Study it. Accurately interpret it so you can accurately apply it and live it. Then the Lord can guide you. He can guide you on the right path, on the path of righteousness, on the path of godly character. So, Jude tells us we are to long for His Word just like that infant who longs for milk in order to sustain life. We are to long for His Word to sustain our life. Then we'll become stronger. We'll become stronger in the faith. That's what John told us in 1 John 2:14. But we will only become stronger if His Word abides and remains in us. So we need to feed on His Word. Jude says, feed on His Word and you will be equipped to discern the truth from lies. False teachers tear down and twist the truth of God's Word, don't they? But the Word of God builds us up. Builds us up and keeps us from error. So, why is it that so many of God's people are confused? Why is it that they are led into error so easily? Isn't the answer obvious? They don't know the Word of God. We don't know about the things of God. We don't understand about the things of eternity. The things that really matter. And wasn't that the problem that Jesus pointed out? That the Pharisees and the Sadducees had? They could look up at the sky. And they could predict the weather, even though they weren't meteorologists. They weren't experts in that field. And yet, in the field that they did claim to be experts in, a knowledge of God, they didn't have any idea. They didn't know anything. They didn't have spiritual discernment to understand the reality of what was happening right before Him. There was the Son of God standing in their presence and offering them salvation, and they did not know it. So if we are to discern the signs of our times, we need to know the Word of God. Praying. Jude says, verse 20, prosekomai, focusing on him. Looking to the one who is above the heavens, falling at his feet, lifting up our voices for understanding, for discernment from his word. In the light of, he says, in the light of the Holy Spirit who brings our thoughts and brings our prayers into line with his will as it has been revealed in his word through the Spirit of God. That is how we have understanding. The Spirit directs us. And we submit to Christ, we submit to his word, and we are filled with his word, and then we can pray according to his will for us. So we are to watch and pray and remember that we are in a spiritual battle, so we need spiritual resources. And though we can never lose our salvation, we can lose our effectiveness for Christ by our sin, by our careless living, by our disobedience, by our disgraceful attitude. So Jude tells us in verse 21, keep yourselves. Terephate. Be careful to pay attention to your words, to your thoughts, to your lives, to your priorities, so that you might continue in the love of God. Don't let doubt, don't let difficulties, don't even let your sin or your failures diminish your love for Christ. And that is a real danger, isn't it? Our love for him can rise or fall and rise again based on our circumstances, how we feel. We might even leave our first love. It was Christ. He's our first love. Look at Revelation chapter 2. It was Jesus Christ himself who warned the church at Ephesus, a church that was on fire for God. Church that was doing all the right things, yet they did not realize that in all of their activity, they had left their first love. That is a warning for us. Our heart is so deceitful. We seem to change from day to day. One day we're obedient, the next day we're disobedient. And so our love for Christ rises and falls based on our lives. But you know, whether we are obedient or disobedient, God continues to work in us, doesn't he? They disciplines us. We feel like it's a blessing. But you know, we don't understand that it's all a blessing. We don't understand what's going on in our lives sometimes, do we? We don't understand it because it doesn't feel like love to us. And so sometimes we don't respond very well, do we? We don't respond well because things are difficult. We can't see the hand of God working in us. But remember what John said in 1 John 4:19. We love him, why? Because he first loved us, and his love does not rise and it does not fall based on circumstances. It does not change. It is always consistent because he is ever faithful. So no matter what happens, no matter how things look, Jude tells us, we are to keep him. We are to keep his unchanging love as the focus. In our consciousness, we are to never waver from that truth. He loves me. He loves you. And all the things that happen to us have a purpose because he loves us. And so it is for our good and for our blessing and for his glory. So his love will carry us through this conflict, Jude says. It will carry us through these difficulties. It will carry us through the pain. Jude wants us to hold on to that thought. Hold on to that truth. He holds on to us in his love for us. As we are waiting, Jude says in verse 21, anxiously, prosdekomai, in Greek, what we're longing for, that's what the word means. So what is it we're longing for? Good question. What occupies our thoughts? What occupies our time? What is it that we value above all else? Jude says this is what we should be longing for. Longing for the mercy, the eleos, the kindness, the compassion of our Lord Jesus Christ, which has been given to us, which leads us to, he says, eternal life. That should be our hope. That should be our expectation. That should be our focus. That is should be what we long for, Jude says. It should be the measure by which we measure everything in our life. We are to keep eternity in view, and not just eternity, our eternity, where we are to be as Christ shows mercy and kindness and compassion to us, and he comes to take us home, to be with him forever. Jude says, we should long for that day. So look up, he says. Know this, that according to God's word, it could happen in a moment. So don't get so bogged down on the things that we will leave behind. Things that have no real eternal value. Jude said this is essential. This is essential if you are to make it through this difficult time. This time when many are falling away. We need to have the right perspective, don't we? We need to have God's perspective, and this is his perspective. But Jude says not only are we to look up, not only are we to keep eternity in view. He says we need to look around. We need to look around us. We're not to run and hide as we wait for Christ to return. He has shown mercy to us. Jude says we are to have mercy and compassion on other people. And people are all different, Jude says. They're all at a different place in their understanding of Jesus Christ. The enemy has had a long time to sow the seeds of error and confusion in their lives. And so he says, on some of those people, we are to show patience. Those who are doubting, diakrino in Greek, means they're at odds with themselves. They can't distinguish truth from error, though they claim to know the truth. They're confused, though they don't believe that they're confused. And they may say they're open to the truth, but that's part of the problem. If they're open to the truth, they're also open to lies and to error. Because they don't know the difference. They are just caught up in whatever makes sense to them. And so they may become argumentative. They may become defensive as we prayerfully present the truth to them. Remember, they've been living in their confusion for years. And so they are weak. And they are vulnerable. And many times they are the targets of the false teachers. Because the false teachers give them the perspective of man. They tell these people what they want to hear. So we need to be careful and sensitive to the Spirit of God to guide them into the truth of His Word. And then to leave them with the Lord. You know, we can make a difference in their lives. Perhaps in sowing the seed of God's Word, perhaps God will be pleased to cause it to take root, resulting in their salvation. So look around, Jude says. There are people who think they know the truth. But the Lord may choose to use us to save these other people, sozo in Greek, to bring them to safety. God may choose to use us to help them. But we need to be aware of their spiritual condition. We need to be aware because they're like those in Amos 4:11 who are firebrands, pieces of burning wood that are being consumed by the flames. Flames of their sin, the flames of their error. And as we present the truth to them, Jude says, it is as if we are snatching them out of the fire, harpazo. It is like we are pulling them out of a burning inferno. Their danger is imminent and they don't even know it because they are so bound and so blinded by their sin and their error. So as we are led by the Spirit of God, we must use His Word to strongly and to plainly give them a warning of their spiritual condition. They are slipping away into eternity, into an eternity in a lake of fire. And on some of the people around us, yes, have mercy, Jude says in verse 23. Show them compassion. But on some, he says, you need to show it with fear, phobos, in Greek, with terror. Why? Because they are so deeply immersed in their sin. Their conscience is so defiled that it can affect everyone around them. And it can affect us. So show pity on them, yes. But do so, he says, even hating, mithail, loathing, despising even the garment, the keton, the undergarment that has been polluted, spilo, it's been stained by the flesh. This is a pretty graphic picture that Jude gives us here. He says that their sin is so vile that it is like their undergarments have been contaminated with their bodily fluids and they are infected. And if we get too close and we are not careful, we could be infected as well. So be on guard, Jude says, as you approach them. Revelation chapter 3. The Lord said to the church at Sardis, He told them that they were about to die. Why? Because many of them there, He said, had soiled and stained their garments. Their spiritual contamination was about to destroy that fellowship. And when people have fallen into the depth of that kind of sin, unless they are willing to turn away from it, the Lord's hand will fall on them. So we need understanding. We need God's wisdom. We need His protection. If we are to deal with these people, yes, Remember, even in the church, it's who Jude is writing to. And if all this sounds a little overwhelming, well, it is. And you know, we would be swept away in the storm of our sin, swept away in error, if we did not have Christ. So Jude says, don't fear. You don't have to fear. Look to Christ, he says. Look to him. We must look to him. Who else can we look to? Jude says he's the only one who is able, dunamai, only one with the power. The only one with the ability to do what? Verse 24, to keep you, phalasso. It's a military term. To guard you. To protect you. Only he can keep you from stumbling, apostos, from falling down. From falling into apostasy, which is falling away from the truth. He's the only one who can keep us from falling away from the truth. We're weak. He's strong. He lives. He reigns. He reigns forever, so he is able to keep us sure-footed. He sees the path that we take. He knows the way. He sees the dangers that are in front of us, dangers that we don't see. He sees the twists and the turns, things that we don't even know about before it's too late. In fact, he sees everything, doesn't he? Sees the end from the beginning. So he can help us through. He can take us through the valley of the shadow of death. And he can bring us safely home to heaven. That is the Savior that we have. He can make us stand, Jude says, verse 24. He's semi. He can set us down in the presence, face to face, eye to eye, standing in the presence of a holy God, in the presence of his glory, and standing there without fear. Because of Christ. Because of him. Because of him, Jude says, we will be found blameless, amomos, without spot, without wrinkle, without defect, above reproach. We will stand there, not in fear, Jude says, but with great joy. Agaliasis, in triumph, in exaltation. So let us rejoice, it says in Revelation 19. Let us be glad and let us give glory to him. You know, Zephaniah 3:17 says this, that God will also rejoice over us. He will rejoice over us, it says, with shouts of joy, because we have been brought home into his presence. So, let us sing praises to him, Jude says, verse 25, to the only God, to our God and our Father. There is no other. He is our Savior. He says, our Soter, our Deliverer. He has delivered us from the pit of hell. How? He says, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who sacrificed himself so that we might be brought to God. To him be the glory, the doxa, the radiance. All honor and praise. To him be majesty, Jude says, megalosune, magnificence, greatness above all else. To him be dominion, kratos, might, the power and the strength are his. To him be authority, exousia, jurisdiction. He alone has the right and the ability to rule this universe. Our God is forever enthroned above the heavens. And though many have tried to rob him of his glory, He alone remains. Jude says he remains before time, from eternity past. He remains now in this age, and Jude says, forever and ever. Amen. So shall it be. For I am God, the Lord says in Isaiah 46:9, and there is no other. There is no one like me. So we bring glory and honor and praise, and with Jude we say amen and amen.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.